Good morning, everyone. It's truly nice to be with you this morning and to be able to share God's word. And I just have to tell you, I'm so encouraged by our meeting this morning. It's just a blessed time of fellowship with the Lord. And I just thank Him for that. If we could just open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in the precious name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And, O God, as we look upon thy word, O God, we just ask that you would reveal those truths unto us that are needful, O God, for our edification, O God, and it would teach us to give you more glory and more honor, O God. And as we share together this morning, O God, these things that are about thy dear Son, may we just place them on the tablets of our heart, O God. We give thee thanks and ask for a blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could turn to the 59th chapter of Isaiah. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, starting in verse 1, and we will read through the end of the chapter. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. The web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. The works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no justice in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth in them shall not know peace. Therefore is justice far from us, neither doth righteousness overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places like dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn greatly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart the words of falsehood, and justice is turned away backward, and righteousness standeth afar off. For the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, for his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto those who turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. From the very beginning, God shows us the way of man. And from the very beginning, we see it in Adam. And we see that as you look down from Adam and you get to where, what I really want to talk about is where Moses was to deliver Israel, the Hebrew nation. And because of Adam's transgressions, and because of the bend that man had took towards God and denying their God, when the Hebrew nation was placed in bondage in Egypt, God sent someone. He called Moses out, and he sent Moses with a message. And the Hebrews had a great deal of difficulty, believing what God had said. The Hebrews, time and time again, wanted more than anything to be saved out of this circumstance, to be taken out of bondage, to live in a way where they could prosper, where they could fill their bellies and their children's bellies, where they could live in a land free and uninhibited. But they were in bondage. And God chose to take them out of bondage. He chose them as their people. And yet, the Hebrews suffered another issue of non-belief, of struggling. As Moses brought this message forth about the one who sent him to deliver them. And in the first verse, it talks about this in a way. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The Lord had more than enough ability to save the Hebrew nation. And he showed them time and time again. And he heard their cries. One of the points he made and had Moses tell them that the Lord hears you. The one that has sent me to said that I am, has heard your cry. But their disbelief held them back. And they struggled with that. And it's one of the things that we see among men and women today. That they believe somehow that God's arm is shortened. That salvation is not really needful in their lives. That there is another way. We heard some about that this morning. But it's true. Salvation is the only way. Answering God's call is the only way. The idea that you can go to God through some other way through Jesus Christ, it's prominent in man's mind. You ask anybody, they say, I know I'm going to heaven. You ask most people on the street, they say, I know I'm going to heaven. What basis do you put that on it? Ask them that. What basis are you going to heaven? And what is their reply? I'm a good person. I've done no wrong. The Bible tells us different. The Bible tells us it's a condition of our heart and our mind before God. It's a condition about whether we accept him for who he tells us he is and live by that. There's many difficulties in that. As many of you know, I work with men all the time who struggle with such things. I personally, maybe some of you have, struggled with the belief that God can save you, not just for all eternity, but out of a circumstance. Maybe some of you struggle with, is God hearing me? You know, I'm crying out. Does he hear me? Is he interested in me? Does he love me? And one of the things that will happen is you'll find if you don't believe it, if you don't trust it, if you don't put your faith in it, then you will have the kind of struggles that the Hebrews had. They were backed up against the sea, and they saw no way out. And God had provided and provided and provided. And yet they murmured and clamored about their plot, where they were, and how could they be delivered from these circumstances. And God's arm was not short. And in our lives today, God's arm is not short. There's nothing that he cannot do. But again, many people don't believe that. Not too long ago, there was an incident in California, which kind of typifies this in some ways, where a gentleman, you may have heard of him, named Rodney King, was beaten by the police in California. And it was videotaped. It was all over the news. And what happened to Rodney was a travesty. But also what happened to the state of California after the trial of Rodney King was also a travesty. The scripture says to us here that in verse 7, the feet run to evil. And man is like this. Many of the people in California who did not know Rodney King absolutely had nothing to do with the circumstance he was in, decided that they would plunder, destroy, set fires, the homes, buildings, offices. And for what reason? What was their drive? Their drive, what was in their heart? What was in their life? It's that nature that God tells us about that we have, that sinful nature that drives us to do those things that we say constantly that we do not want to do, that we do not want to be involved with, and yet we are driven somehow. And the people in California were truly driven. There was rioting and looting and killing. One of the reasons this happens, we see in verse 10, it talks about we grope for the wall like the blind, as if we had no eyes. Those who do not know Christ live that type of life. Always looking for a way out. How do I get out of this circumstance? How do I make my way any better? How do I do this? How do I do that? And they're just looking. It says groping. Groping, you know, constantly just feeling their way through. feeling their way through. And what happens a lot of times, it says we stumble. You can be walking around in the middle of the day. And to many, it will just seem like night. I don't know if you've been to that place. But you know, your eyes can be wide open. The sun can be shining bright. It can be 80 degrees out. And you're lost. You're in total darkness. There's many men and women today who are outside of this place and who are out in the world who would not believe that. And yet Scripture would tell us that it's true. We also look to the Lord in this way. When you believe what God has told you, and you understand very clearly that you love Him and He loves you, that He will guide you, that He will give you everything that you need to bring you through. And it's not a burden for God to do that. And it shouldn't be a burden for you. God places in your life men and women to encourage and to strengthen you. But many times, what happens is men and women will follow their followers. They're not leaders. And that's part of what happens here is they say the feet run to evil and they shed innocent blood. Because when you're not a leader, you're a follower. And you see something going on, you run to it. You run to it. There's an incident. There's a car accident. How many times do you see on the news there's a car accident? Everybody that drives by got to slow down and look. Everybody's got to take part in it. And that's what happens a lot of times. We have to take part sometime in everything. But there was another thing that we struggle with sometime and that the world struggled with, and that is vanity. And God talks about it. In verse 4, He says, "Where none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth, for they trust in vanity." What is trusting in vanity? It's trusting in something that's unreliable, does not have any substance to it. And yet there's a world that will put their faith and their trust in themselves and everything else but God. One of the beautiful things about being in the body of Christ is that we know we have someone that we can put our trust and our faith in. Moment by moment, day by day, with full assurance that He will help us and bring us through. And it's difficult for those who are outside of Christ to get to a place where they understand it or understand us sometimes. And I guess what I'm talking about is some of us here have children who are struggling, who we would love to see the process in their lives be continuous in following Christ. And we don't see it. We don't see it. We wonder about what direction they're taking. And what we find out is that it's vanity. It's mistrust. And they end up in mischief and all kinds of things. And we wonder why. And part of the reason why is because they have not seen the light of Christ in their lives yet. There are two different pictures here. And I'm going to try to explain them the best I can. One is a picture of men and women without God in their lives. And one is a picture with men and women with God in their lives. And yet, both can be caught up in situations like this. Believers can
can be caught up in their lives where they are stumbling and groping and looking for a way out. The circumstances in their lives are so difficult and seem so tragic that they see no way and they try to feel their way through. There is a darkness, not necessarily a darkness of sin in that sense where they've done something, but it's just a darkness in their lives and they do not see the light. But God has told us there is light for you. There is light in my word. There is light in my son. He says, seek me, you will find me. He also gives us hymns like Amazing Grace that tell us about our blindness and how we can come out of that blindness and see. Those who are without Christ struggle with such things. I know many times at work that I talk to people constantly about the Lord. And they just have a real difficult time, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Accepting that he can change the circumstance in their lives, that he can make it better in some way. That by giving their life to him, they will receive all the blessings that God has to give. But they don't see it for gain, they see it for loss. And they have no peace in their lives, no peace in their hearts. And you see them struggle day after day after day. In my job, there are so many people who are so happy, but throughout the day you'll see someone in a cubicle, someone in a desk, and you see the stress, you'll see the pain, you'll see there's something going on and they don't know how to address it. We're grateful because we do know how to address it. We address it with our God. And, you know, again, I just like to, I don't know if I fully understand what groping means. When I was a young man, I knew what it meant to grope because we used to grope the girls. I could understand that. That made sense to me. It was something physical. It had some substance to it. I understood what that meant. But spiritually, I have to tell you, I found out what that meant too. And I know it sounds kind of, because I said I didn't know, but I do know actually. I do know what it is to grope in the darkness. I've been in those places where difficulty has struck my life, and I don't know how to get out. Don't have a clue. And everything I just said will go right out the window, because the last person it seems I would seek was God, knowing full well that he should be the first, knowing full well that he should be the only one I seek. And I do it in reverse. Many times I wait till the pain is so great, I have no other choice but to cry out. And to be truthful, that's what the Hebrew nation did. And that's what they will do one day. When their sufferings are so great, they're going to cry out for God and be redeemed by God. It says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. And for a non-believer, that is a heavy load. That living in sin, that not even attempting to come out of it, that God has turned from them. And it's not until they confess the Lord Jesus as Savior, things start to turn around. Now we know in a believer's life that's not the case. That's not the case, but it's still a dangerous place to be, living in sin. We know that God, we may not be in communion with him. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us, but we may not be in communion with him, and that's difficult. We don't want to live like that. And it says in verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. When I first read it, it reminded me of when I was small and used to do little mischievous things, and someone would ask me about what I was doing. Did I do a certain thing? And the first thing I noticed, especially if it was something I touched or took, that I immediately put my hands behind my back so they were unseen. It was unseen. And that I believe, is something that I was not taught, but something that my nature, that sin nature taught me, to hide my iniquities right here, to stick them behind my back. And it says, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. And in James, you don't have to turn to it, but in chapter 3 of James, in verses 5 through 10, it reads, it's talking about the tongue. Even so, a little member that boasts great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, and serpents, and the things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. And then it says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so it says in verse 3 that the tongues have spoken lies and have muttered perverseness. And it's amazing, like the scripture says, how such a small member of your body, as we start to examine it, it may sound kind of silly, I was trying to examine how big my tongue was. And it is one of the smallest members on my body. It's a little longer than my fingers, but shorter than my hand. My toes are shorter, but my feet are bigger. But I know what my tongue can do. I know what my tongue can do. And I have all I can do some days to bridle it and to keep it from speaking perverseness and untruths. But many people in the world really don't care about what proceedeth forth from their tongue. They just let it fly. They let it fly in front of their children. They let it fly in the midst of shopping malls, in their workplaces, and say all manner of things with not a care. And that would not be God's way. God would have us to be mindful of that. In Matthew, you don't have to turn to this, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. It talks about those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. And God again is making us very aware about those things that we say. Because many times, you know, you'll hear someone tell you, you'll say something to someone and you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. And you want to take it back and you know you can't. And you want someone to forgive you and you just can't say, oh, forgive me. You know, your heart and your tongue aren't always in tune. You want to say I love you and you say I hate you. Yeah? You want to say I miss you, but you don't. In Mark 7 and 15, it says there is nothing from outside of a man that entering into him can defile him. That the things that come out of him are those that defile the man. And again, it's the same thing. We children of God should be mindful of such thing and be careful about what we say. And especially around those who are in the world. I mean, amongst ourselves, we can talk to each other about things we say, and some maybe if it's our language or about misquoting scripture or living or doing something a certain way. That's all helpful. But when it comes to saying things around people in the world, you really need to watch what you say and do. Because they're looking at you, and I don't know how they react to some of you folks, but I know if I say something that's out of sorts, I get called on it immediately and challenged by it immediately. And somehow, I don't mind when my brothers and sisters do it, but I sure struggle when someone in the world does it. I struggle big time then. And then in Mark 7 and 22, just read that quickly. Actually starting in 21. And it says, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. We are not any longer in darkness. There is no longer any need for us to do those things which would defile us, other than the fact that we have another nature, other than the fact that somehow we are driven at times to do those things which are, in our own sights and other people's sights, ungodly. And yet, God is a merciful God, and He cares about everything about us, and it's His desire that we not only repent, but that we change, that we forsake the ways. So this morning, I know I've kind of been all over the place, and some things may not have been so clear, but there is clearly a difference, and I believe we all know it, about the arm of the Lord, that God does save, that there is those who are outside of Christ who struggle and who are groping and stumbling, And though we may do the same thing at times, that God has given us a way out. And we would pray that those who are outside of Christ would hear what God has to say to them and receive Him as Savior. So we can just close with a word of prayer. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we just thank You for the time that You've allowed us to have in Your Word, O God. And we just pray that You would be our ever-present guide, O God. We pray we would be mindful of those things that we say and those things we do, O God. We also pray that we would examine our hearts and that we would have a heart that would live for You and You alone, O God, and that You would strengthen us and encourage us in our daily walk. We ask that this would be a blessing to us, O God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.